And as I've watched in-laws over the years, I think that there's kind of three levels of quality of relationship. There are those that are great. I mean, you got some great relationships. But for many of us, maybe in at least one of those in-law relationships, it's not great, it's just tolerated. But for some, it's beyond just being tolerated. There's an open war.
From the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a best-selling author and your advocate for the family. Today begins the first part of Dr. Randy's five-part teaching series entitled Intentional Living with Your In-Laws. Now, to help you be intentional for your family, here's Randy.
Very good. Thank you, Kurt, and welcome to the Intentional Living Center today. And we're going to get right at that teaching here in about 60 seconds. I'm very excited about this lesson. It is such a practical lesson. I'm going to be sharing with you over these next 5 days, 10 what we call intentionals, 10 practical things that you can do to grow your relationship with your in-laws, deal with problems if they exist, and how to make your in-law relationship what God intended for it to be. And so I hope you'll enjoy the teaching. We come back after the teaching here in just a few minutes and have some more sharing and question and answer as we get into what does it mean to be intentional with your in-law relationships. And let me just give you a little preview, because the very first point that I'm going to make in this series of these top 10 is that your job, number one job, is to help your family member. It may be your son, your daughter, a brother, or a sister, but to help your family member to be successful in that relationship with their spouse or their in-law family. As I said, you know, we can either have a great relationship, which I was blessed to have with my in-laws who are now in heaven, but you can also have an open wound or an open war, as I said, in these relationships, and that's certainly sad. Now let's go to our Intentional Living teaching studio and share with you the first part of this lesson on intentional living with in-laws. Well, I'm continuing the series on high-stake relationships. We talked last time in a series about adult children when I said that was an oxymoron. You know, you're either an adult or you're a child. You know, you can't be both. And that's one of the problems when you have adult children is knowing how to have that handoff to that next generation. Today, and starting this lesson, I want to talk about in-law relationships. How to be intentional. Intentional living with your in-laws. And I thought last night, I have 11 in-laws in my life. Some are deceased, some are alive. I have four sister-in-laws. I have two brothers-in-law. I have two daughters-in-law. I have a son-in-law and a father-in-law and a mother-in-law. 11 in-laws. And I was talking to Donna last night about how with all those in-law names, which, by the way, don't you love it when they put law on the end of a name? I mean, that alone is problematic. You know you got a problem when your last name is Law, right? But especially you mothers-in-law. You guys get the real bad rap, don't you? I mean, brothers-in-law and sisters-in-law, but mothers-in-law in particular seem to have a lot of focus on who you are and what you do. And so I was thinking about three levels of relationship with in-laws. So you may say, well, my mother-in-law is gone or my father-in-law is gone. But you know, you probably everyone here has an in-law. Everyone here is an in-law. And so this is an applicable topic to a very important high-stake relationship. And as I've watched in-laws over the years, I think that there's kind of three levels of quality of relationship. There are those that are great. I mean, you got some great relationships. Some of you say, oh man, I got a great relationship. And I would say before we get into this lesson, if you have a great relationship with an in-law, just keep doing what you're doing and forget everything I'm going to teach today, because whatever's working, keep it working, right? I mean, if you're a Ruth and Naomi and that's working great, stay at it. But for many of us, maybe in at least one of those in-law relationships, it's not great, it's just tolerated. You know, you just have accepting it and you're moving along and there's no big war, there's no big conflict, but it's not a great relationship. And for us and for those of you that may have that, I hope this series as we talk about in-laws, will be really practical as I give you some practical, intentional steps that can make a difference. But for some, it's beyond just being tolerated. There's an open war. There's division. There's separation. There's lack of understanding. Something was said early on or done early on in the relationship that got stuck in somebody's heart. You ever notice how it's the beginnings that create the problem many times with these powerful relationships? Something that's said or done or misperceived early on in an in-law relationship that may show up 20 years later. You know, 20 years ago, you said so-and-so to me. And what? I don't remember that. And it's that war of maybe it's distance that creates the problem. So I was thinking about why is it that in-law relationships can be so problematic? And I came up with three C's. The first is choice. The choice. You and I pick our friends, but we don't pick our in-laws. They're kind of assigned to us generally, right? Through marriage or, and now with divorce and remarriage and all the complexity of those kinds of relationships, it's not a choice that most of us make when it comes to having someone in our family and having a relationship with a person. Where when you pick a friend or you pick a spouse, it's a choice that you made. I think the second C is change. Many times when there's an in-law relationship that develops, all of a sudden your sister marries someone or your brother marries someone, there's a change in the dynamic that occurs in the family. Everything was going in a certain way, and we knew how things were supposed to be, and our holidays were always done in a certain way, and we had our traditions, and this is the way things operate. And all of a sudden, things change. They may change for the better, but sometimes not so much, you know. So change can be a problem. And a third C, now nobody here would admit this, but competition. Boy, how many times have I heard people, and they won't say it, but they'll... All of a sudden, their brother gets married or their sister gets married, and that couple's doing better than we are. They got a bigger house and a better car and a bit better job, and there's that competition that starts in our hearts. And all of a sudden, you got two sisters-in-law who aren't talking to each other, and they don't know why, but they do know why, and there's the games that get played. Am I speaking to anybody here? I mean, anybody relate to this, or am I just, is this... I don't think I'm going over anybody's head. I think we all can relate to how these things can occur.
In a moment, Dr. Randy continues today's teaching, Intentional Living with Your In-Laws. This is a part of Dr. Randy's July teaching series on high-stake relationships. Find out more about the series and how you can receive a copy of this complete teaching or all the teachings for the entire month at theintentionallife.com. Or call during West Coast business hours, 1-888-888-1717, and press option 4. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Good morning.
Man, you are glued to your phone. What is so interesting?
Oh, sorry. I just got a little wrapped up in this devotion from Intentional Living.
Seventh floor.
On your phone?
Yeah. I've signed up at the website, and they send it to me every weekday. I usually read it in the elevator on the way up to the office.
Tenth floor.
That would explain why you missed your stop on the eighth floor at least twice a week.
Going down.
Get devotions, hear shows, and share your intentional story at theintentionallife.com.
Do your in-laws sometimes feel more like outlaws? Well, I've got five tips to help you succeed with your in-laws.
Welcome to the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Dr. Randy Carlson, our intentional counselor and coach.
Because you love your spouse, you want to love your in-laws too, and you want them to love you as well. Here are five things to remember as you deal with your in-laws. First, communicate clearly with your spouse as you both stay on the same page with decisions as a couple. Next, allow your spouse to deal directly with their family disagreements. Third, try to see things through the eyes of your in-laws. Fourth, ask questions to help you better understand your and their feelings. And finally, give the relationship time to develop as you ask God to give you the grace that you need to accept your in-laws and for Him to give you favor with them as well. You can thrive, even with your in-laws. For Intentional Living, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com. Today's teaching from the Intentional Living Center is available to you with our thanks for your gift to the ministry. The teaching includes not only what you hear on the radio, but all the sessions of this entire series. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy as he continues today's teaching.
So I was doing some research on in-law relationships, and immediately it goes to probably the biggest, the motherlode of all in-law relationships, the in-laws, mom-in-law and dad-in-law. And I found some really interesting research, and as I thought about it last night, I said, wow, this really proves a biblical principle, a biblical statement. The researchers from the University of Michigan, Terry Orbach, researched 373 couples, and it's a longitudinal study. And a longitudinal study means that they start at one point and they observe and watch these people over a period of time, over a long period of time, and then look at the results at the end. Over a period of 26 years, this researcher studied 373 couples. And what she discovered was fascinating, that there's 20% less likely to be a divorce in a marriage when the husband, listen carefully now, when the husband has a close relationship with his in-laws. I thought, wow, that's interesting, isn't it? Because that wasn't true on the other side. In fact, it's 20% more likely to divorce when the wife perceives that the in-laws are meddling. And what the researchers found over 26 years is guys don't have as many problems with in-law relationships as you women do. Because traditionally, the guys were busy, we're doing our job, we're, you know, raising our kids, and generally speaking, don't have that same level of sensitivity. But for wives, there's this sensitivity that my in-laws are meddling. And then I was thinking back to that, you know, Everybody Loves Raymond sitcom that we've mentioned from time to time. The reason that show has been so popular is because it exemplifies this very point. Mom from across the street, Marie, she just walks in the door, critiques the wife's cooking and how she's raising her kids and what she's doing. And good old Raymond, he's oblivious. He's trying to keep peace. You know, he's trying to make it all work. And so the research shows, which is really interesting, that, and I hope this settles into our minds as we think about our marriages and our in-law relationships, that what's really important is for men to make sure that you got a good relationship with your wife's parents, assuming that's a good relationship between her and them. Because what the research shows is that shows her that you love her. When you love her parents, you're showing love to her. It wasn't as big a deal on the men's side. And then I was talking to Donna last night about this lesson. I was going over it and talking to her, and all of a sudden it dawned on me, didn't the Bible say the same thing in Genesis 2:24? It gave all this picture of the creation of man, and it says a man and woman. And then Genesis 2:24, he says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Isn't that interesting? That God's intention is that for us as men to make sure that we're getting along well with our wife, with our in-laws. Now, maybe it is that your wife doesn't get along with her parents very well, and that's another dynamic. You know, that's a whole nother session we could do for another week. But I thought that was interesting. Another researcher from the Cooperative Legal Services, they studied 2,000 couples and 800 divorcees. And what they found is that one-third of divorces, there was an underlying tension about how often and how much time we should see our parents and family. Isn't that interesting? One-third of divorces, part of the factor that was a tension in the leading to the divorce was they couldn't agree on how to fit the in-laws into their marriage. I thought, wow, that's really interesting. And then part of that research, this is just really interesting to me, that daughters, that you ladies are better at assuring your father, if you have a good relationship with him, that he's still your little girl. But that men, we are not as good at assuring our moms that they still matter. We go on with our lives, you know, and we're busy doing things. And the moms are, what's that little saying? You know, you have a daughter for always. Anybody know what that is? But, you know, when you have a son and they leave home, and many moms are still feeling like, hey, do I still have a son? Where with our daughters, they still back and they're still daddy's little girl. Isn't that an interesting dynamics? You see how all of this can be a setup to the problems that can occur when we start having relationships with in-laws.
Well, we're live back here in our Intentional Living studio. Let me get that saying. I looked it up. It's an Irish saying that a son is a son till he takes him a wife. A daughter is a daughter all of her life. Don't know if that's true in your case, but certainly an interesting thought, and certainly reminds us of the value, importance, focus of being intentional with our in-law relationships. We got a 5-day series starting today on this topic. It's part of an overarching series on high-stake relationships for single parents, blended families, of course, in-laws, and then adult children. And coming up in a little bit, I'll tell you how you can receive all of this on DVD, about three hours of teaching from our Intentional Living Center. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. You're an in-law. What have you learned? What is God teaching you? What one thing would you share with others that would be encouraging? Come and tell us. 888-888-1717 and press number 2, or go to theintentionallife.com.
I'm really struggling right now with the relationship I have with my husband's father. He uses very cutting, hurtful words frequently when we're around him. It makes me very nervous and hesitant to be around him. And now I have a small child, and I've heard, you know, cutting remarks made to my sister and brother-in-law's children before, and you know, I'm just afraid that I don't know what to do if, for example, I should hear him make a cutting remark about my little girl. That would really affect me, and especially my relationship with my spouse.
Yeah, that's a big deal. And there's one of the principles that we teach about relationships intentionally with in-laws in particular. You need to go to your husband. Say, honey, I love you. I love your dad. I love your parents. I want the best in relationship, but I think you hear it too. Is there some way you can talk to your dad, kind of throttle him back a little bit? Here's what happens. When the in-law with the last name Law, hello, yeah, you know, when you step in and try to correct a mother-in-law or father-in-law or a daughter-in-law or what have you, you know it's very problematic. And so be careful. Get your husband involved. You know, after my sessions, I talk with those who come and share, and I'd like to have you come and join us and hear some of the comments on relationships with in-laws. Take a listen.
I was not her first choice. Mm. Because I came with children and a divorce, and I understand where she was coming from, but it still made it very difficult for me to be a daughter-in-law, and especially after my mother died, because I would have liked her to be the mother that I no longer had. There were times when I had to bite my tongue because she always blamed me for my husband not wanting to go up and visit her. We didn't live close to them, and that was another part of the problem. And so she would say to my husband, well, you know, Colleen didn't let you come up. Hmm. And it wasn't me. I was the one trying to encourage him to go. He didn't want to visit that often. And so a lot of times I just kept my mouth shut and had to bite my tongue, because by making the comment, I would have made my husband look bad. And that was never what I wanted to do, because I didn't want to make his relationship with his parents bad.
Well, I think what I heard and seen with that, Colleen, is that sometimes it's easier to make the in-law the scapegoat, because it's easier than thinking, hey, I've got a problem with my son or my daughter. It's got to be the person that they married that's the problem. And I think that happens a lot.
The good news is that after 25, 30 years, by the time she passed away, we were never the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law that we could have been, but she came to accept that I was good for her husband. That's good. She loved our granddaughter.
That's good.
So, her granddaughter, our daughter.
That's good. One thing that you could have in common. Adam?
I have these two stories, but they kind of go together. Early on in my marriage with my wife, Yolanda, was the first year, and her mom was staying with us for a week or so. They lived out of state, and my wife were having an argument. A strong conversation. And my mother-in-law jumped in the middle of it. And right then and there, I said, "This is not your concern." And what's interesting is that dynamic of our relationship. Now that we've been married 25 years this year, we have a great relationship. Mm-hmm. I didn't do that with my parents. Mm-hmm. My wife does not have a good relationship with my mother. Mm-hmm. But we never did that. My father was an interferer, had a lot of suggestions, you know, and I never protected my wife, you know, in that. And because of that, my mom lives next door, and we rarely see them because mm-hmm. we just don't have that same relationship. So mm-hmm. it's just interesting. Take care of it in the beginning. It hurt. It hurt her a lot. But I love my mother-in-law, and we have a great relationship. And they actually moved to town this last year.
Interesting. Thank you, Adam. That's good. Questions or comments? Yes.
When you were talking about barriers or what did
boundaries.
You say? Boundaries. It reminded me, there's scriptures, I don't know if there's more than one, but I know there's definitely one in the Pentateuch about moving boundaries. And I know it was talking about land at the time, but you can actually, you know, use it for relationships too. You don't move boundaries. I mean, you can agree with the other person to move a boundary, but you paid a heavy price for moving boundaries, and I think that's the way it is with relationships as well.
And the other thing, if you're using that analogy of physical boundaries, they're usually marked and pretty clear, but they don't become a contention between you and your neighbor. I don't go outside and see the little, you know, the little stick that comes up out of the ground showing my neighbor's boundary, and then we argue about it. We just know that's the boundary. And so it's real clear. If I cross it, then I'm responsible, and if he crosses it, he's responsible, but it's clear. But it's not a point of contention. It's actually a point of confidence. So we're not wondering, where is the boundary? Now we know. That's good. Thank you.
So you're listening to Dr. Randy teaching on intentional living with your in-laws. And you say to yourself, I could really use some help in that relationship. Well, the good news is, today, when you become a monthly member of the Intentional Living Center, you'll receive that teaching along with three more in what Dr. Randy calls his high-stake relationship series on two DVDs. And every month, you'll continue to receive Dr. Randy's coaching CDs. Become a monthly partner today, and you'll not only get help for your relationships, but you'll ensure that others will hear the message of living an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Call during West Coast business hours, 1-888-888-1717 and press number 4. Or go online anytime to theintentionallife.com and click on donate.
Thank you, Heather, for that reminder. And she gave you the information about receiving this, and we are making this available during this very special time in the month of May. And I would hope that as you respond, you will find it to be beneficial. Maybe one of the teachings on single parents, or maybe it's blended families or in-laws like we're going through now, or adult children will sort of percolate to the surface. Maybe something you want to use in a small group setting. But it is our gift to you. As she mentioned, as Heather mentioned, right now when you become that monthly member of the Intentional Living Center, all four of these teachings, about 3 hours coming your way every month for your best gift in support of the ministry. Would you join us today? I'd love to hear from you. Again, call 888-888-1717, press number 4, 888-888-1717, press 4, or go to theintentionallife.com, click on donate. I would love to be able to welcome you in the days ahead so we can do this together, reaching more people for Christ.
Yes, my name is Clarice. I was listening to the lady that called in regarding the mother-in-law who she's having difficulty with. I have a son, and I'm the mother-in-law, and his wife and I have sat down and talked, and I want to tell you that girl is doing the right thing. She needs to keep talking to her mother-in-law, as it says my daughter-in-law did, and we have gotten things worked out, and I realize my love for him and my love for her is really great. And I always get in the way because I try to help so much. But it's turning out so wonderfully, and I'm so grateful that she has been able to verbalize how she feels about what I do or what I say. Thank you for listening. God bless.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for telling us. I think she really points out a principle that we've tried to teach here, and it's a biblical principle. If you got a problem with a person, to sit down and talk and communicate. And the problem sometimes you find out is not what you thought it was, or it's not even that big of a deal. And if it is, it at least allows you to know what the issues are so you can talk about it. And so as we go through this series on the high-stake relationship of in-laws and how to be intentional in living with in-laws, working with in-laws, to the extent, I think of the passage that says, to the extent that it's possible to live with peace with all people. And that certainly begins with the family. One of the things I've tried to teach over the years, we've tried to live, not perfectly, but to try to live and to teach, is that if you have a son or daughter that's married, your number one job is to help them be successful in that marriage, to honor God in that marriage. And as an in-law, your attitude and your support for them is what really needs to be the focus of your heart, to help them be successful. That's not only true with your kids, but that could be true with your maybe a brother-in-law or a sister-in-law. As you've heard me teach, whenever you start a relationship, you put the word law at the end, it can be problematic because, you know, it's a legal relationship that maybe you didn't intend to have in any other circumstance, but you do. And as a result, you want to honor God in the process. Taking the high road in the relationship is certainly a theme that we're teaching throughout this series as well. Again, this teaching, intentional living for your in-laws, along with the high-stake relationships of single parents, blended families, and adult children, they're all on two DVDs, about 3 hours of teaching, recorded right here at our Intentional Living Center. And I'd love to get it into your hands right now when you become that monthly member of the Intentional Living Center. Your best monthly gift will make a huge difference. It really will. Join today by going to theintentionallife.com, click on Donate, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 4. And by the way, when you do, ongoing teaching every month will come right to your mailbox on CD as a way of saying thanks. Tomorrow I'm going to start teaching the freedom process as we move you through how to be intentional with in-law relationships. See you then.